Istanbul is a city that wears its history more openly than many, but that doesn't mean it is always easy to find. Writer Selçuk Altun spins mysteries that take his heroes into forgotten corners of the city where once majestic monuments go unnoticed amid the bustle of modern life. This is the latest installment of Crime in the City, our profiles of crime novelists and the cities they write about. NPR's Peter Kenyon tells us about Altun's novel, The Sultan of Byzantium. It's an homage to the Byzantines who ruled Constantinople for a millennium before the Ottomans came along.
Istanbul makes an exotic first impression. Boat traffic on the Bosphorus Strait sends waves brushing up against the shores of both Europe and Asia as enormous mosques and monuments from previous empires stand guard. Turkey's current Muslim leadership focuses primarily on the Ottoman Empire. But for some, the Ottomans came after the most glorious period in this city's history, when it was the Roman incarnation of Byzantium. The Sultan of Byzantium begins with a quiet academic living in Istanbul who receives a cryptic message that will change his life. It's from a mysterious organization that tells him he's a descendant of the last Byzantine emperor, Michael Palaiologos, and poses a series of tests to determine whether he's a worthy successor. Along the way, he discovers that other descendants, including his father, died in mysterious circumstances. Thus, Selçuk Altun sets the stage for an exploration of Istanbul's, that is, Constantinople's, Byzantine past, an era that he thinks deserves a lot more attention than it gets these days.
In my opinion, Byzantium civilization is highly underrated, and not only underrated, but also mispresented. Nowadays, when you say the word Byzantium, it's synonymous with grand-scale conspiracy and intrigue.
Altun says he wrote this book as a kind of antidote to the thick, plot-heavy thrillers of writers such as Dan Brown. In The Sultan of Byzantium, the main character considers Byzantine civilization the greatest in history, and the author still gets excited being around its monuments.
This is the real thing.
Yeah.
This is golden age.
It's early on a weekday morning, and commuter traffic is whizzing by, carrying passengers on cell phones who don't notice that they're traveling in a VIP lane of sorts, passing through what was once the Byzantine Golden Gate, reserved for victorious generals and visiting dignitaries. Built in the 5th century by the Middle Ages, these walls were protecting not only the Byzantines, but medieval Europe from rapacious Eastern armies. Altun points out differences in the limestone, where later stonemasons carried out renovations.
Well, the renovation part is really debatable. The original stones and renovated stones, they are not in coherence. Actually, in the infamous earthquake of 1999, some of the renovated stones fell down, but nothing happened to the original stones.
From here, we move inland to a giant monument that to motorists passing through its arches must look like an old bridge. It's actually an ancient 90-foot-high aqueduct that once brought water to the royal cisterns. So we're sitting in a traditional tea house, low stools, low tables, directly underneath the arch of the giant Valens Aqueduct. It's quite an interesting setting.
Yeah. When Greeks and Romans started coming and settling in the city had a major problem. The nearest source of water was called Beograd Forests, 25 kilometers west of city. So they built these huge water bridges called aqueducts. And to me, it has a special meaning. You are coexistent with history.
To reach our next destination, we climb steep winding streets alongside creaking bicycle carts. We're looking for Tekfir Palace, home of Palaiologos, the last Byzantine emperor. It's tucked away amid modest apartment blocks in a working-class neighborhood. Altun says he can't blame Turks for not recognizing the amazing history all around them because they don't learn to appreciate it in school.
70 years ago, in the history department of Istanbul University, there was a subdivision of Byzantine history. Today, there is no division or subdivision to study Byzantine history, although Istanbul, old Constantinople, is the center, is the heart of the Byzantine civilization.
The Tekfir Palace was saved by its very obscurity. Rampaging crusaders missed it when they sacked the city in the 13th century. In the novel, this is where Altun's narrator discovers who has been putting his life in danger throughout the book. Now our journey takes us from the most obscure to by far the most popular Byzantine site in Istanbul.
Look at the line. It's worse than British Museum. Really.
Known as the Church of Holy Wisdom, Hagia Sophia was an astonishing architectural achievement for the 6th century. Altun says it was 1,000 years before a bigger church was built in Spain. With massive lines of tourists filling the plaza outside the church, Altun pauses to describe what he calls the Mona Lisa of mosaics, of Jesus, Mary, and John the Baptist, inside in the upper gallery. In the book, it's there that his hero discovers the final crusader insult to the venerable church. Across from the glorious mosaic, says Altun, lies a marker for the grave of a Venetian doge named Dandolo.
He was the one who provoked and motivated the mercenaries of Fourth Crusader to plunder the city. When he died, he was 100 or 101 years old. And there is a plaque saying, here is Dandolo.
The plaque remains, but historians say the bones were probably removed after the Ottomans conquered the city and turned the church into a mosque. It's now a museum, but some Turkish officials want to make it a mosque again. Altun hopes that won't happen. A retired bank executive, Altun calls himself a reader and book lover more than a writer. All proceeds from his books go to a scholarship fund for literature students. He hopes his modest mystery will give readers an urge to know more about a once grand empire hiding in plain sight in modern-day Istanbul. Peter Kenyon, NPR News.
Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople, been a long time gone.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.
Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul, not Constantinople, so if you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say. People just liked it better that way. So take me back to Constantinople. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone, Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks.